The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Oz Table Talk, and this time we are going back to our Culture versus Christianity series. Specifically, we're going to be talking about
Easter.
And so tonight, there's four of us at the table. There's myself, Luke, Nato, Ben, and Dave. And we're going to be talking about Easter. So what do you guys think of Easter? Is it something that you've all celebrated at one point, or couldn't care less?
Does it being a public holiday count as celebrating?
No, that counts as I could care less.
No. Okay.
Yeah, we get it, Nato. You were brought up in a cocoon. Yeah. My memories of Easter as a kid was finding the Easter eggs stashed around the house.
Yeah,
that was pretty fun. So we used to have like a treasure hunt. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool.
Yeah, but I resonate with that. Much the same.
Yeah,
lots of joy. Actually, you know what? When I was about around the age of 10, 12, like in that vicinity, it occurred to me that, you know what? Easter egg chocolate actually isn't that good chocolate.
Yeah.
Like, it actually doesn't
really
taste
dodgy stuff.
Yeah. And so I put in a request to my parents and said, look, I know that it's Easter, but can I just have, like, a block of Cadbury's Black Forest chocolate instead of the eggs? I would prefer it more.
Can you please hide crunchies around the house for me?
And they were happy to oblige. It's like, well, hey, I actually get that. So they were happier just to buy me a family block of chocolate and say, there you go.
That's funny. So, yeah, it also obviously occurs to you that it's kind of weird that, you know, there's like an Easter bunny and then there's Easter eggs.
Yeah, those two things never made sense.
Yeah.
Rabbits don't lay eggs.
Sure, really? They do.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Don't you know those marsupial rabbits? Wait a second. Marsupials don't lay eggs. No, never mind. Look, continue on. Okay, everybody, it's late. I'm tired.
They're
leave me alone.
They're not monotremes. Monotremes.
Monotremes. That's what I was trying to think of.
Marsupials that lay eggs.
That's the ones.
No, they're the ones with the pouches.
Yes, that's right.
But they lay. AKA the platypus and the echidna.
And here endeth the biology lesson.
Yes,
okay, all
please.
Right.
Anyone who's not Australian is completely confused right
yes,
now.
Yes, I know. We have some very odd wildlife. And, it, yes. And just, yes.
But no,
and
we don't have rabbits that lay eggs, so
no,
we're all right.
No, but everything else will kill you. You know, I actually had to have that conversation with someone. I was talking to somebody, like, in with work. I was talking to some of these guys from America, and they're like, oh, I'd love to go to Australia. It sounds like such a beautiful place, but I'm just so afraid of all your wildlife.
Yeah,
like,
drop bears.
Yeah, it's so dangerous over there. Like, are you scared of it? No, man. I said, seriously, you know, our cities are like your cities. You know, you don't walk around going, cassowary! Sorry, anyway. Sorry, I'm getting way off track here. So,
well,
Easter.
Mind you, I did see a kangaroo on the main street a few weeks ago.
Did you?
Yes.
Wow, okay. That's not a normal
Well,
thing.
To bring it back, we don't just have chocolate Easter bunnies. We also have chocolate bilbies.
That's true. That was like a thing that that they tried to push out to make it the Australian Easter.
Mm.
Because, yeah, use Australian animals. Yeah. Anyway.
So, anyway, like, if you're a Christian listening to the podcast, you've probably heard many, many people over the years railing on Easter and proclaiming its pagan origins. And
there's generally the two extremes, right? There's the people that assume that it is a very special Christian holiday that must be observed religiously,
mm-hmm.
no pun intended. Or, on the other extreme, people that, you know, decry it as pagan and we should have nothing to do with it and rail against it.
Mm. And, look, let's be real about it. Whilst maybe their method is not great, it is true, you know.
Yeah.
Easter does have some pagan roots, and there are certainly things, like we just said, about Easter bunnies that lay eggs that are ridiculous and really, I think, today, all about, you know, the commercialization of Easter.
Well, to get back to the pagan roots, bunny rabbits, they breed in large numbers, eggs that represent...
What? Sorry, I just got totally distracted by the fact you call them bunny rabbits.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. Continue, Ben.
Tiredness.
Yeah. They're all symbols of fertility. Yes. Which is what the pagan side rabbits. Of it is. Yeah. However, we also have the Christian side or the Judaism side, which is Passover.
Yes.
And Easter is kind of the combination of the two today.
Yeah. So, were you going to say something, Ben?
Oh,
Ben.
Yeah, Ben was saying.
I was just going to say Ben.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yes.
So, yes, there are some pagan root stuff, but there is also very distinct Christian roots for this holiday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is, I think that's a really, really important point. So, you know, whilst there are some elements of truth to the people that get really extreme about their hate for Easter, there are so many good things that we could choose to focus on. Yes. When it comes to Easter, that I feel like it just completely outweighs the negative.
Yeah.
And all right, let's not be celebrating the pagan, you know, festivals and things like that. But let's realize that there's never a bad time to celebrate or remember the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. And even going back further than that, the Passover experience, what it represented symbolically before that, you know, God delivering his people from slavery, right? And that's all about
salvation.
Yeah. And that's what the cross was all about.
That's right. So, it's that theme of redemption all the way through.
Yeah. And this is one of those times when people are going to be more open to talking about it and discussing it. So what better opportunity to go, hey,
I'm
cool with talking about that.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Because a lot of people, as an example, friends, like family friends of ours, when we used to live in New South Wales, they had nothing to do with God. They believed that there was a higher power, but that was sort of the extent of it.
Mm-hmm.
And through interactions with us, they saw that God helped them in their life via us. And so, as a mark of respect to us, they just decided that they were going to go to church every Easter because of the fact that they felt like God had helped them. And so that was sort of how they showed their appreciation for that. And obviously, you know, we know that Christianity is bigger than that, but in their mind, that was a way that they could, you know, access that or commemorate that. And so a lot of people feel that way. It seems to be the time where people are going to have that opportunity to worship, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly like what we said at Christmas time. Yeah. If people Same are thing. Open, why would we hide our light? You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Like, what's the point of becoming overzealous about the negative side of it when we could be using it as an evangelistic opportunity?
Hmm. Yeah. Here's a question. I mean, I've heard people that still do this, even Adventists that I know personally that still do this, that observe the Passover itself. What do you guys think about that?
I've never done it perfectly, but I've done like a couple of times with groups of people where we've done like a mock version, I suppose you could say, of Passover, and basically walked through the last, you know, few days of Jesus' life over the Easter weekend. And for me, that was amazing. And I would love to do that every year for Easter. You know, just to remember every stage of those last few days of Christ's life. It's just so transformative. You know, like so much power in those experiences and what they represent to us, you know, as far as the fact that he demonstrated such a love for you and I. I think it's really powerful. And I don't think we need to do it. I think, you know, we probably should talk about that some other time because there are people that teach that, you know, the feast should still be kept. I don't believe that. But that doesn't mean we can't do it for the sake of enjoyment and learning and experiencing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, I do agree with that. The people that I knew that did it, I guess I was invited and I chose not to in this particular case, but more so because of the way they were planning to do it. I felt like it was rather than so much commemorating what Jesus did, it was to me it seemed more like the opposite of that.
Like the Passover was like, the object that you were thinking about rather than what the pointing Passover toward was pointing to.
Yes, yeah. It sort of felt like being preoccupied with the symbol rather than the actual thing. And so I declined in that sense. But what Dave was expressing was very different.
Where you're experiencing the symbol so that you can experience
and
learn more about what the symbol was
actually pointing to.
Because in the end, the symbols are there to teach the they're an object lesson. And the object isn't the lesson in itself. It's to teach something. And if you miss the point, what's the point in doing it?
Yeah. Yes.
I think, too, like you're raising a child now, Luke. It's a really, really good opportunity to teach your children as well. And this one of the times I was talking about was done in a family context.
Yeah.
And the parents were doing the Passover experience. You know, like I said, it wasn't perfectly or anything like that, but they were giving the kids the experience, you know, eating the food, you know, talking about the life of Jesus, you know, talking about the Gethsemane experience, talking about the crucifixion experience, talking about the resurrection. And that's a really powerful way to just walk them through that, you know, over a few days. Yeah. I think it's a great teaching tool.
Yeah.
Another really good way I've seen it done, a church that I used to be really close to, like geographically, Port Macquarie Church, they did this thing every year called His Story or History. Mm. And it was during the Easter long weekend, and I think it was the week leading up to Easter, so virtually the whole Passover week, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
They would have, like, you know how we went to Bethlehem Live last year, and they sort of demonstrated actively what the, you know, whole Christmas story was all about. They did this with Easter. Mm-hmm. And so they crucified Jesus, and they, you know, had the resurrection experience in the church, and, you know, it was really cool. Like the whole you walk through, you see every part of the life, the last few days of Christ's life enacted. And then at the end, they had like a, not a concert, but they were doing a song, and it was kind of like, almost like the appeal song at the end of the program.
Yep.
And they would filter hundreds, probably even thousands of people through there every year.
Wow.
That's so much more reach than they would get from their church service every Sabbath.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think it's a really good, like I was saying before, a really good teaching tool.
Mm. And that is so far removed from, as an example, there was a church that I was attending at one point, and on Easter weekend, the sermon, someone got up and they preached about the evils of Easter. Yeah. And there were visitors.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so here's people in the community that are feeling like, oh, hey, you know, it's Easter, you know, I should go to church. They go to church and they hear why they shouldn't have bothered in the first place. You know, and I just remember thinking to myself, who woke up that morning and thought, you know what, this is a really good idea, I'm going to preach on this?
Well, to be fair, probably someone with a very sincere heart, but very bad method.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly. You
know, I mean, because we're not trying to mock the
individual.
The individual who did that.
No,
but if you happen to be one of those individuals, we would certainly encourage you to think about the methodology, because like you just said, you're turning people away on the one opportunity they're giving you to turn them to Jesus.
Yes.
Instead of doing a sermon dedicated against Easter, you go, okay, acknowledge that, you know, Easter does have some of those pagan roots in the way we celebrate now.
Focus on Jesus.
This is, you know, same sort of time as Passover, and it's commonly linked in with Easter.
Yeah.
Let's focus on that.
Yeah.
So, acknowledging that there are,
if you need to, I don't even think you need to.
Well, some people will feel the need, and I don't see a problem with, you know, acknowledging that, you know, there are some pagan aspects to what we know as Easter.
I don't have a problem with it, but I don't have a problem with people not doing that either.
Yeah. I think the general point, what we're saying is, make the best use of the time. Don't use it to burn people. Use it to build bridges, not walls.
And in many ways, this is one of the easiest holidays to do it with, because there is so much more here to work with than a lot of the other holidays that we've covered so far.
Yes. Yes, for sure, because it's a direct connection. You ask anybody, like, of course you're going to get some people that don't, but generally speaking, you ask anyone, what's Easter about? And they're going to tell you that it's about Jesus. It's about the crucifixion. That's what they're going to have in the front of their mind.
In many ways, unlike a lot of the other ones we've looked at, it's been a pagan holiday that's been Christianized. Well, this is a Christian holiday that's been paganized.
Yeah. So in a sense, what we're really doing is taking back what was already ours. So
exactly.
Yeah. No, that's very interesting. I like thinking about it that way, because that it is quite unique in that sense. So I guess the thing that I would encourage you guys, if there's anybody out there that is in charge, if you like, of what's going to happen at your church this Easter, then by all means, decide ahead of time how you can use it as an evangelistic opportunity. Don't just let it drift by as something that you're either shouting down or ignoring, but take it as an evangelistic opportunity.
And not just if you're the leader of your church, but everybody.
Everyone has the power to make it evangelistic, because there's a higher than average chance that you're going to have visitors that day. And what is going to make them come back is... Yeah, sure. I mean, the sermon might have something to do with it, but the relationships that they make with the rest of the people on that day is going to have a big impact as well, and that's everyone's responsibility.
Yeah.
And there's even more than that. We're all human. We all need the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so even if you're not making it an evangelistic opportunity for somebody out there in the community, use it as an evangelistic opportunity for your own heart, and just take the time to reflect on what Easter is all about, what Jesus did for you. You know, that there is so much power in that, and end the weekend on that amazing truth. I'm just looking at it now in my Bible, like, he is risen. Like, there is so much joy in that message, right?
Yeah,
like you said, you know, in the conversation that we had at the live event, Paul says that our faith is futile if it wasn't for the resurrection of Jesus. So on Easter weekend, every year, we get the opportunity to remember the purpose, you know, for which we gather every other weekend.
Our entire faith hangs upon the cross with Christ.
Exactly, exactly. And just also, like, I don't know, maybe I'm, you know, making a little bit of an appeal here, but I just think it's so important that we regularly bathe ourselves in an understanding of just how important we are to God.
Yeah.
You know, he gave everything he possibly could give in Jesus. You know, laid it all down, risked everything for the possibility that he could have an eternal friendship with us.
For like, just a possibility. Not a guarantee.
Not even guaranteed, yeah.
Yeah. Just and crazy.
He would have done it for anyone.
Yeah.
Each and every member of the human race.
Yeah. Of which he is now one, which is amazing to think of all by itself.
So just, I mean, I would just say, this is what Easter is all about. Make it your own this Easter, and just open it up to as many people as want, you know, to have that experience with you. And come out of the weekend praising God for the fact that he is risen, Jesus is risen, and with him, you are risen.
Yeah.
You know, you are risen to a new life. You don't have to be a slave to sin any longer. I think of just right after that, how the disciples were depressed and Jesus is walking along the road with them and he says, you know, guys, pick up your act a little bit here. You know, this is good news.
Yeah.
This is good news. I think we ought to just remember that every year, that this is really, really good news that Jesus considered us worth being sacrificed for.
I think we're going to leave that one there. It's been a great discussion. So thank you guys for joining us here. And we really look forward to catching up with you guys next week. Obviously, there's always so much to talk about. This particular topic is one that we could keep going on, but we're going to...
We should do a series on the weekend.
Huh?
Well, on this weekend of Christ's life, we should do a series on it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I thought you meant on the weekend, like this weekend. I was going to say what? Okay, sorry. Yes, yeah.
How would that be relevant to our audience?
I know, that's why I was confused. But no, absolutely. Yeah, that's true. It would make for a good series.
Yeah.
So if you guys would like to hear that, let us know in the comments. We'd love to get your feedback on the idea. And also, if you guys would like to be in our regular think tank. We have a special group of people where we run ideas past and we ask your opinions for upcoming episodes and that sort of thing. And all of our patrons are put in there. So if you would like to be a part of that conversation and be able to join the Table Talk think tank, please become a patron. So you can find the links on our website or Facebook, but you can simply go to patreon.com/OzTableTalk. So we look forward to catching you guys next time. All right, bye.
See you.
And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/OzTableTalk, and you can give anything from even $1 a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.